You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Welcome to MLB.com Extras, the San Diego Padres. There has been some news around the Padres lately, now that they have a new general manager in place, and he seems to be acclimating himself to the team a little bit and meeting with them and just slowly easing himself into this. And meanwhile, on the field, things are sort of looking toward next year, but the Padres have since sort of gotten themselves together lately. So let's bring in Corey Brock, the intrepid beat writer for the San Diego Padres for MLB.com. Corey, let's talk about that a little bit. Since the All-Star break, they're 14-8, so that's not really a small sampling. Is this a sign of better things to come, or what's going on with these guys?
Yeah, Allison, this is usually the time of the season where, you know, the dog days of summer, we're kind of counting down the days to the end of the regular season. And but the Padres are with a kind of a revamped roster because of some trades that were made before the July 31st trade deadline. They have a new general manager. Things are a little bit different. There's a little bit more energy in that clubhouse. That's been reflective, I think, in their play a little bit. They're scoring a few more runs. You know, that's sort of been their Achilles heel, really, for the entire season. The pitching's been very good, by and large, from the start, from opening day. So, that's been strong throughout, starting and relieving. But, scrapping out a few more runs, playing some pretty good defense. And, you know, they showed up in the wild card standings the other day, and I kind of had to do a double take. You know, this is late in the season. I've seen that happen since 2010. So, there's some optimism here for sure.
Wow. So I haven't even looked at them in the wild card standings. Where are they?
Well, they're still down there.
But they're in there.
Yeah, I think something like 7 games back, the Dodgers are looking like they want to run away with the division. But, they're in the hunt, and mostly they're playing better. And I think for a fan base that's kind of been starved for, you know, some better baseball, they're getting it now. And the team's coming off a 3-2 road trip to Minnesota and Pittsburgh, and especially taking 2 of 3 from the Pirates, a team that, you know, 3 sold-out crowds there at PNC Park, and, a team that's right in the thick of it, and those games are, very important to the Pirates and very important to these other teams that are certainly up higher in the standings. So the Padres have a chance to not only spoil some fun for some other teams, but still there's a lot of games left. They could certainly make a run at things here. You know, ultimately, I don't know if they have enough in there to score enough runs to make a difference, but, we'll see. Stranger things have happened.
Yeah, seven games back is not insurmountable. I mean, it's a little improbable, but it certainly can keep a fan base interested. A.J. Preller, I saw that he recently sort of visited with the team, just dropped in the clubhouse and said a few words. And I know that he's just starting to learn everything about the organization. What do you think he thinks when he looks at what they have at the major league level now and what might be coming? Does he see a nucleus? Does he think that there's like a group, an inner group that he can work around? Or how do you think he views the team overall?
And I think one of the benefits, probably, Allison, for them to hire him with 2 months left in the regular season, he's going to get a chance to evaluate this thing, for the final, 6, 7, 8 weeks here, get a chance to look at the minor league system. I know he's already been to some minor league games. He's already talked to front office personnel, player development, baseball ops. It's going to be really give him a head start on the off season in terms of what he wants to do to help to continue in reshaping and revamping this roster, the 25-man, the 40-man, the minor league system, if he's going to bring in his own personnel. So in that sense, it's kind of a leg up. So, that process is already starting. You know, he's been on the job for less than a week now, but that's already going on. The dialogue's already started. He's had his first real extended conversation with Buddy Black on Sunday night, and probably some yesterday. Of course, the announcement took place when the team was out of town. So a lot of important decisions to be made, and not all of which can be tackled immediately. You know, a lot of this will take time. So, I think it's going to be a roster in flux. You know, they don't have a whole lot of financial obligations beyond 2015. They have some interesting decisions to be made next year. Joaquin Benoit, their closer now, that Houston Street has been traded to the Angels. He's owed $8 million next year. Carlos Quinton, who's on the disabled list, probably just played his last game for the Padres this year. He's owed $8 million next year. But, you know, they're looking at about $41 million in financial obligations guaranteed, and that's before the salary arbitration guys. So, they have some interesting decisions moving forward. But, again, if there's any upside to any of this this GM search taking place in the middle of the season, which is, you know, extremely rare, at least in my experience, Allison, I think it's going to allow him kind of a head start moving forward.
It's interesting. I was talking to T.R. Sullivan on the Rangers side just about how it was kind of pre-negotiated, or it went on during negotiations that Kreller was not going to be able to just, like, take anybody he wanted to from the Rangers and bring him along to the Padres. So those things were definitely worked out ahead of time. But, I mean, sometimes you see, like, a GM come in and they just sort of clean house and start over and bring in their own guys. Some general managers, I remember with Ed Wade back when he took over the Astros, there really weren't a lot of wholesale changes, and he kept a lot of the upper management on the front office side still in place. Do you have any – I mean, it's not really a fair question because there would be no way to really know what they're planning to do. But I guess it's kind of interesting, sort of intriguing to see, like, which way they're going to go as far as if they just want to completely start over or just keep – I know some, like A.J. Hinch has left, but maybe just keep some of these people around as he sort of eases his way into this whole thing.
Yeah, it's interesting, Allison. You're right. This is an interesting situation here in the sense that you mentioned the Rangers aspect of this, especially since A.J. Preller was with the organization for 10 years. You know, there's an agreement in place now where, you know, he can't take any personnel for the foreseeable future. My understanding is that's at least 2 years. So, you know, I think the people who are in place here, and there are some very talented people still in place here. There's still two assistant general managers here who have been with the team for a long time, and some people at the top ends of the front office and player development that are going to be, you know, I assume are going to be given a fair shake and a chance to prove themselves. And, you know, guys have been in the game for a long time. And, you know, I think the guys that are here are going to be given every chance to stay here. And, you know, I'm not privy to exactly what AJ's network is outside of the Rangers. You remember now, this is a guy that's been, he's a scout. He's a scout through and through. He's a talent evaluator. We talked about that before. This guy has spent 200 nights a year down in Latin America looking at players. This isn't a guy that's been, you know, working the press box and, you know, standing behind the batting cage at big league stadiums. I'm not sure what his network is beyond the Rangers. So it may take some time to build that. Maybe eventually he brings over some people from the Rangers, but it's not going to be right away, and it's certainly not going to be this year. So I think this at least initially sets up pretty well for the in-house people. And it may have anyway, Allison, because like I said, there are some very talented people here in the front office, baseball ops, player development. And so I think he's going to lean on these people heavily early on.
It would be nice for people not have to lose their jobs just because of a management change. I mean, that is one of the toughest parts of this business to watch, and you never really get used to it. It's just when there's, you know, new ownership that comes in or new management or whatever it is, you know, the opposite side of that, of course, is that some people are going to lose their jobs, and it's kind of really nice when they get to keep them and sort of form a new unity and, you know, try to make a winner from there.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's well within the right of these people that come in and the people that make these decisions, executive chairmen, team presidents that make these decisions that to hire new people, that, you know, they could bring in their own people if they like. And but, you know, I guess it kind of goes with the territory that, hey, you get to work in a wonderful industry that is the game of baseball, but you have to understand that everything's tenuous, you know, that it could be here today, gone tomorrow. So and I'm sure there's a lot of people that would love to keep living in San Diego. It's a wonderful place to live, certainly. But that aside, I think, you know, there's some very good people here, and people who have gained certainly a very good reputation throughout the game of baseball. And A.J. Preller knows that. You know, he doesn't need anyone telling him that. He knows that. And I'm sure that's been made well aware to him, and he probably knew that coming in. So I think it's going to work out well for him, as it is for a lot of people here.
So let's talk about a recent call-up, Raimer Liriano, an outfielder. This guy seems to have some intrigue with him. So he had Tommy John surgery, I guess, last year, but he's a five-tool potential player, raw power, has to cut down on the strikeouts, and you hear that about a lot of guys. What makes him special, and what do you think he can do for the Padres?
Yeah, Allison, he's 23. He missed all of last year after having Tommy John surgery. He is an exciting of a player, a toolsy of a player, a guy that can do a lot of things really well, as a cannon for an arm, can hit for power, raw power, can run well. Probably as toolsy of a player that they brought up since, and I asked this fans on Twitter, because no one in my time really, and someone suggested maybe Khalil Green going back to 2003, you know, a shortstop with, you know, a very good defensive player. They remember Khalil Allison had very good power, especially for that position. So, you know, that's kind of the guys that they want to fill their system with, and ultimately, you know, the guys that they've sort of failed to draft and develop over the last decade or so and fill their system with and bring up and impact players at the big league level. So this is a guy they've kind of been waiting on since he's been 16, and I shouldn't say waiting on since he was 16, but, you know, he's slowly worked his way through the system, as is the case with a lot of international players, Latin American players, that, you know, that you invest a lot of time and resources, and the player development staff has certainly helped him a lot along the way, and I think hopefully those guys get some credit, you know, when this guy reaches the big league level, that people acknowledge that, you know, this guy had a lot of hands helping him along the way. So, but certainly an exciting player. They brought him up at a very good time. I think a lot of people have overlooked that. You know, you bring him up at a time, Allison, when the team's playing well, you know, you could bat him lower in the order. You'd probably see a lot of fastballs. There's not a whole lot of pressure on him other than, you know, being in the big leagues, which, you know, is enough, I'm sure. But, you know, just allow him to play and just go out and kind of be himself.
Another interesting story from the Padres, of course I am biased because Jason Lane is one of my all-time favorites through his years playing in Houston, but he comes up and he pitches like really well, and then they send him, I guess they put him back in the system, they designated him, and but he went back into the system, if I'm not mistaken. That's just kind of mind-blowing, don't you think, that he was able to come up as a left-handed pitcher, resurrect himself, 37 years old, former outfielder, had been out of the big leagues for years, and comes back and pitches. What do you think of that?
It was a great story, and he's done it twice this year. You know, he came up earlier in the summer, pitched in relief twice, then designated for assignment, you know, cleared waivers, re-signed, or, you know, agreed to accept the, you know, the assignment back to the minor leagues, and then came up and had that start in Atlanta here a few weeks ago and pitched so well. And what a great story, you know, a 37-year-old left-hander who certainly made his mark in the big leagues as an outfielder. You saw what he was in the big leagues, and this was a real guy. You know what I mean? This was a guy who, with some raw power, who was a part of some very good teams there and fit right in with those guys in Houston, and just didn't want to give up playing and was encouraged to keep playing. And lo and behold, he made it back to the big leagues by going the long route. Had to play for the Sugar Land Skeeters in the independent league with Gary Gaetti, was his manager. And I exchanged emails with Gary Gaetti the day that Jason Lane pitched in Atlanta, like I said, just a couple weeks ago. And Gary was so proud of him for making it back. And I don't think we quite understand the magnitude of just how long that road is and how improbable that is, especially for a guy like Jason Lane, who, you know, left-hander, supreme strike thrower, but certainly doesn't throw that hard, and but understands pitching and understands how to set hitters up, having been a very good hitter, you know, having been a productive major league hitter himself. So I think he uses that knowledge to help him. And, you know, I would fully expect that we're going to see him in September.
So what were the circumstances around that he was called up and then he was immediately designated? Was that – what was the need for him in that start?
Yeah, it was a spot start for Ian Kennedy, who missed a start because of a sore oblique, and he was just going to miss one start. So, you know, there was a small risk, you know, by designating him that you could have lost him if somebody else saw the performance and maybe wanted to grab him and put him in their rotation. But, you know, luckily for the Padres, it worked out. They were able to retain him, and he's in AAA right now. And so he's going to get a chance to come back to the big leagues. But, you know, he's already accomplished so much. And by no means is this icing on the cake. I mean, I think he'll be the first to tell you that, you know, he wants to keep doing this. And, you know, we asked him in Atlanta after that game where he pitched so well, you know, like if he could kind of wrap his head around what this journey has been like. And he says, you know, he can't do it. He won't allow himself to do it. That's something he's going to have to, that maybe he could step back and kind of enjoy maybe when it's all over. But when you're in the throes of it right now, you know, it's still part of your daily grind. And so I found that to be pretty admirable. You know, it's easy for us to just kind of look at the whole picture and the whole story, and it kind of looks like a wonderful Lifetime movie, Allison. But it's for him, this is his life, and he'll save all that gushy stuff for later on.
Well, if he continues pitching in the big leagues, then I think that will become some sort of movie eventually. We'll see. Anyway, Corey, thank you so much for your time, and it won't be too long before we're talking again. So thanks.
Catch all of the second half action on MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service. Watch every out-of-market game stream live online or on the go in true HD. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 14 subscription, allowing you to watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.